What?
Ooh,
I mean, that's him.
Oh,
that could be him.
All okay. These things could be him. These are some fantastic beats.
All right, if you say we can't have demons on Disney, you're crazy. That's all I'm saying.
Steven needs Jesus right now. What is going on? What is this? What?
I don't know, but I love it.
No. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
For real? For what? Real?
One night. Oh. Hey, like that?
Oh, I feel
is
weird, Eric.
Is this even Marvel anymore?
I got the chills, Eric.
Oh my God.
Yo, that was insanity. Blink. I love this episode. What the
I
heck?
I loved it too. What? I can't believe they did this. This is crazy. This is great. Welcome back to New Rockstars. Marvel Studios' What If Episode 4 just gave us the most heartbreaking, horrific, and bleakest half hour we have ever seen following the Marvel Studios title, Mephisto Confirmed? I mean, honestly, who cares? That's like the fifth craziest thing to happen this episode. Because what the if? This is Inside Marvel. It's our after show for Marvel's What If on Disney Plus. I'm Eric Voss. My Easter egg breakdown is going to come to the channel tomorrow. But right now, we are asking how the tragic Strange Supreme might actually return in live action MCU. Multiverse of Madness. Maybe even be the Doctor Strange we see in Spider-Man No Way Home. I'm reacting to this and this whole iffed up episode with MT. How do you feel after that?
Bro, I feel that Doctor Strange definitely needed some therapy because, good God, he did some crazy things in this episode. But let's just say that. Wow, I loved it. It's so good. So I feel like the episodes in this season just keep getting better and better. So, like, I'm so excited.
I agree. So in a universe in which Stephen Strange dates Christine Palmer, Christine dies in the car accident and sets Strange on this journey to become the Sorcerer Supreme. But now he uses the Time Stone to try to save Christine. Mm. But like the elderly homeless man in Groundhog Day, she just dies again and again. It was just her time. Or someone up there hates her guts or loves her. I have a theory on that later. But the Ancient One tells Strange that her death is what is called an absolute point. And anytime they capitalize this shit, I'm like, okay, we got a new term. I love it, I love it, I love it. But Strange says, F that, I don't care. And he persists, and he has traveled to this lost library of Cagliostro, where he spends, it turns out, centuries absorbing countless mystic beings, including a little garden gnome. He's like, no.
I want to see the world.
That was enemy number one.
Yeah, I know. That's the
let's
first
start with
one
the gnome,
with.
The most powerful being that I know.
Yeah, let's the beetle walk, but not the gnome. They taste delicious. But crazily enough, this includes that tentacled entity from episode one. We got some continuity now going on. We're back on the continuity train. Interesting. We'll talk about what that is. But he realized at the end of all this that the Ancient One had actually split his soul. So there's another good Strange One who decided to move on from Christine and finds his reality now inking away. Not dust. They used a new kind of sludge, whatever that is. I loved how that looked.
It's just it like looks so cool. It's like, wow.
Upside down rain.
A lava lamp? What's going on here?
Yeah. I would be like, just take me. This feels great. I don't know where I'm going. But,
right?
But
give me some animals,
back
man.
To that primordial ooze. I want to be part of that post-mortial ooze.
Right?
Thank you very much.
Straight liquid.
But, you know, for whatever reason, they don't want this to happen. So at least in this battle of Strange versus Strange, an insane wizard duel, and Strange Supreme wins. He sucks himself in.
Yes. Nice. And
he turns into this monster who saves Christine, but Christine's like, no, thank you. No, thank you. Yeah. And all of reality erases, leaving us with this bleak finale where the Watcher, who Strange is able to see now, he's so powerful, he can see the Watcher. And the Watcher's like, no, I don't intervene. No, thanks. Last time I tried to do that at my daughter's birthday party, she hates me. She doesn't talk to me anymore. She says I'm a bad dad, so I'm not doing that to you. And he lets this universe die, and then credits. What? Well,
just cut straight to credits.
I have a theory that this is not the last we will see of Strange Supreme, this tragic figure.
Okay,
and
okay.
Obviously, this episode rewrote the multiverse rules again in the MCU, but I think that will clue us into how Multiverse of Madness will look and work. So we should talk about all the new terms we got. But before we get to that, our merch partners at Epic Hero Shop have a new shirt design inspired by Spider-Man No Way Home and the What If shirt that I'm wearing right now. Both of these shirts are unique, limited edition designs that aren't going to be around for long, so head on over to NewRockstarsMerch.com to grab one now. Now, there is other What If inspired merch, stuff inspired by Suicide Squad and Loki, other properties with some cool hoodies and jackets to help you get ready for the cooler temperatures happening right now. And when you buy one of our latest Obsession shirts at NewRockstarsMerch.com, you get the chance to leave a custom shout out that runs during our Inside Marvel After shows. Let's see what we got here. OJ Holmes asks, what if the Watcher and Kang were old friends? I love that theory. That's my hope, that by the end of this we'll see some kind of connection between those two.
Oh, yeah, like, in the comics, the TVA and the Watcher have some type of relationship. So, like, I think that Kang and he, or at least He Who Remains, know each other. So, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, and what was interesting, this episode, we actually saw the Watcher's face. It wasn't just his eyes and a starry silhouette. True. We saw his mouth and face move. So, each episode, we're starting to get more and more of his tangibility and humanity. I was going to say humanity. He's not human, obviously, but it's starting to become more and more of a person that we can kind of see.
He's a handsome man. Who knew?
And yeah, what a man. Dylan says, could No Way Home introduce a web of life and destiny? A bit off topic, but an interesting question nonetheless, and could be on topic with if we have an episode that rewrites the multiverse rules again. I don't know if specifically they'll call it the web of life and destiny. They may call it just because the movies often don't use the exact terms that the comics introduce. They just kind of call it their own thing. Right. But I mean, if it's just like some kind of multiversal void that looks vaguely spiderwebby, why not? We can call it the Web of Life and Destiny.
I'm exactly on that same page.
Yeah.
Co-side.
And then Kylan Bentley says, what if Voss was Mephisto? I mean,
what?
Yeah. I mean,
who knows? I don't know. I mean,
at this point,
I feel like you would have to have Mephisto powers to look that handsome. I mean, I don't know.
Or Mephisto powers to just look like this.
Don't be like that, Eric. You're a handsome man.
Whatever. That's not what this is about. What this is about is this episode of What If. So what's our first big question coming out of this episode, MT?
Well, Eric, what if Strange Supreme comes back in the live-action MCU? Because I feel like that's a big thing that could happen.
Yeah, especially the way the multiverse logic seems to be working. Because this episode's bleak ending implies that the Doctor Strange of this universe is forever trapped in whatever is left of this universe. It kind of looks like a condensed prism geode.
Right.
But a geode from the outside.
Yeah.
It's like a little crystal ball, like a, you know.
A little glass thing you just buy snowball at a yard sale.
Yeah, right? And it seems like it's almost like he's in there for all of eternity, right? Mm. Like, can he die at that point? Is he just stuck there crying?
Yeah, I think he's probably just probably condensed in this prism, like really, really small, just stuck there until hopefully Captain Carter maybe or somebody can help him out.
Right, yeah. The Watcher calls this the end of this universe, but of course, What If is a series about the multiverse, and each episode is set in a new universe. So, you know, some of these universes are probably going to end, and it's okay. There's still the rest of the multiverse to look forward to. But one thing I found interesting about these first four episodes is that while they start out as one what-if scenario in their title, they later reveal themselves to actually be a deeper what-if hypothetical. So, like, episode one started as what if it was Peggy Carter, but really it's what if Red Skull decided he wanted to use the Tesseract to open portals instead of conquer the planet. Episode two started as what if T'Challa was Star-Lord, but really it was more of an episode of what if Thanos was the good guy and the Collector took his place. And then we saw this in episode 3 last week, what if the Avengers were murdered? Sure, but really it's what if Hope Van Dyne was an OG Avenger? And then that would lead to her dying and Hank going crazy, and then that's what caused all their deaths. So now episode 4 starts as what if Christine Palmer died? But really it's what if Doctor Strange was so reckless that he went so extreme and destroyed the universe? And I think that's super fitting because the biggest event in Marvel news this past week was, of course, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, from which everyone's biggest question was, why the hell is Doctor Strange so weird and reckless?
Why is he so weird, Steven?
Why are you taking it so far, Steven?
Seriously.
We are ready to go home, and you wanted another round. Well, I think we get some new possible explanations for Strange's behavior from this episode. A, he could be the version of Doctor Strange we saw at the end of this What If episode, having somehow escaped this hell, perhaps via Sylvie or Wanda or someone else breaking this reality. And now he has replaced the Strange of the MCU, more willing to recklessly use sorcery to fix everything, but will ultimately himself have no way home. That's why this guy's weird. That's why he's dangerous. Is this is a guy who has like lived this lifetime of sucking in all these mystical entities trying to save his girlfriend and then broke his heart. And now he has a chance to make things right.
He's like, I got a gnome in me, Peter. What? Oh, nothing.
I just think that would give us an excuse of why he's so willing to use the spell to try to like fix everything in a specific way.
Right.
But another option is that B, maybe the Ancient One split this Strange we saw in No Way Home into two halves, one good, one selfish. And in No Way Home, we could be looking at just half a Strange.
Oh, okay. So like maybe in this scenario, this other half of the Strange is like maybe trying to trick Peter to maybe be whole again. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, or it's the just like trying to look for another half of him.
Yeah, he maybe is like the nice guy, because there's something also creepy about an all nice person. You kind of need to have your mix of your pure and your toxic selves in there.
It's
and
it's true. Mr. Rogers all the time, didn't trust him.
You kind of just want to shake him. Well, no, you can't question Mr. Rogers. That guy is a pure saint, a ball of light.
Seriously.
He's on a different plane than the rest of us. Unimpeachable. But there is a C option that maybe this episode will have nothing to do with Spider-Man No Way Home. And that's totally possible. I know. But I just think there's a very strong likelihood that we will see Strange Supreme again, at least maybe in Multiverse of Madness. Because this episode was the first episode of the series, I think, to feature every voice actor from the movies on board, right? Like, they didn't have other actors voicing them. We had Benedict Cumberbatch, Tilda Swinton, Benedict Cumberbatch, Rachel McAdams. Now, Chiwetel Ejiofor as Mordo was missing. He didn't factor into this plot. But I'm just saying they didn't have someone else voicing them. And to me, I think that could be a signal that this cast might view this story that we just saw as essential to their characters' journeys in some way. I think another thing that surprised me about What If is how many of these episodes are not staying limited to their own hypothetical realities. Like episode one and four transcended dimensions within their runtimes. They both had the same interdimensional squid, even.
Squids everywhere.
It's this one squid. This thing is like a recurring character. He needs to be top billed in the credits with Jeffrey Wright.
It is literally the main character of the series is the squid.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
And featuring Squid Monster.
Just my legs for now.
All legs. Legs for days, this thing.
Like
all the way
season,
to the
we just get like, you know, the season one, we get the tip of the leg, and then like season two, we get more of the leg. And then like as seasons progress, we just get more and more to the face. That'd be hilarious. Yeah.
I think throughout the series, we're getting more and more ways the multiverse could have been destabilized in the MCU. Like, was it Wanda reading the Darkhold? That's what we assumed it was. But no, actually, it was Sylvie killing He Who Remains. Oh, wait, no, now it's Peter Parker tampering with Doctor Strange's spell. And now all the stuff in What If. I think, MT, we're going to learn that all of these events were synced and linked. So, and I think it could be how Strange Supreme gets freed from that crystalline hell that he's left in.
I think that this is a really good point that you bring up, because like this also brings up a good argument for He Who Remains, because he was like, yo, madness would happen if I wasn't around doing what I do. So like all of these crazy things from Spider-Man to this What If episode, all of this is happening. And like, what if this is happening because there's no TVA? So like, I think that this gives a good, you know, like wrangling in the chaos argument for He Who Remains there. But
yeah, there's a longer discussion to be had about causality. What caused what was caused by what, you know? And I think you can make an argument. It's like a two-way street, and it's a street that is just like, I mean, it's not even a street. It's just like one of those roundabouts in Europe around the Arc de Triomphe where people just weaving around.
Or in New England. We got like crazy roundabouts over here. It's all roundabouts here.
Well, can I tell you my reach theory for Strange Supreme, MT?
Do it, man. I love your reach theories.
I think that he could have been the one who sent all those cars and random causes of death that killed Christine. Because let's face it, you can call it an absolute point all you want, But it is crazy how much fate had it out for her. It's like, yeah. She's just dancing at one point. She's like, oh, my heart.
Seriously, it's like, I have a heart attack now. Like, I looked very healthy up until this point. Now I'm dead.
I mean, that was the craziest one. And then from there, they went down to eating pizza. And then a mugger, for some reason, like, I'm going to shoot this random person and add a murder charge to my counts.
Like, you got anchovies. Yeah. You can't be left alive.
I think this could have been Strange Supreme fixing his mess, making sure that she is this absolute point who gets killed despite how much his alternate self is trying to save her. Like, maybe if we zoomed in on that mugger's face, that was Doctor Strange. Like,
oh, yeah.
And then we're going to see some future episode. Actually, we know we're going to see a future episode because in promo footage, there is a shot of Strange Supreme meeting with Captain Carter.
Right, right. So like, yeah, there's an opportunity there.
There's going to be a future opportunity this season where we can get some more answers on what exactly is next for both these characters and what exactly happened when they tussled with the tentacle monster and what exactly that is. Is it Shuma Gorath? Is this going to be the villain that we see?
I have a feeling that it could be Shuma Gorath, especially at the end of the episode, because like when Strange does his little shoot, I'm going to shoot my darkness energy because everything's closing around me. His Aya Agamotto turns red. And I was like, That's a very interesting piece of imagery there, because I think that could be foreshadowing towards this Shuma Gorath entity that could be coming later.
Agreed. And I think it's interesting how the way he eventually was able to suck in pieces of the tentacle monster is by just slicing off. And then they continued to wriggle like, you know, lizard tails.
Yeah.
And then they still kind of had that sentience and he was able to just take in those calamari chunks. And when Captain Carter returned from the past through the portal, there were chunks of that squid everywhere.
Uh-oh.
You know, using the logic of that, those squid pieces would still have sentience in it and they could still study it and it could still pose a threat to whatever future Marvel universe she ended up in.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, so maybe that's how we're not done. Maybe that's how we're going to see this different pieces of whether it's Shuma Gorath or one of the other Elder Gods, many angled ones. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see an infection that takes over various different realities. And that's now what Doctor Strange might have to deal with in Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, like at the end of episode one, these tentacles are in the future reality. So S.H.I.E.L.D. is probably experimenting on these, and S.H.I.E.L.D. is Hydra. And Hydra likes to push the bounds of science and like what they experiment on. So this can't be good. Something bad's going to happen with these tentacles.
Now, for now, we keep talking about the legs, right? Mm. Are we just seeing the legs of something else? Of just like some like a fat old man who's like, theirs are just my legs, and you keep taking my legs, and I don't like that.
I don't
and
much
I'm
like
played
that.
By Billy Bob Thornton. And my name's Mephisto, and I got weird squid legs. Like, are we just looking at some Marvel Ursula, and there is some kind of humanoid top half to them? Or is this all just a ball of squid legs?
I would love if it was just one entity and they're just getting pissed because people keep cutting off his limbs. I think that would be, that's a perfect motivation right there. It's like, stop cutting my shit off, man. I'm just trying to live.
I can't wait to see the top half of this squid thing. I want to see arms. I want to see neck. I want to see ears. I want to just zoom out and tell me what this is.
Seriously, this feels like the Powerpuff Girls where we couldn't see Mrs. Bellum. The secretary for so long, like that's
or literally like Muppet Babies, and we were just seeing nanny legs.
Exactly.
Yep. And that episode of Muppet Babies where Gonzo cut off one of Nanny's legs and says, "I say I can use this to bring back Camilla."
Classic episode of the Muppets. I watch it all the time.
Well, we have more about this episode we want to talk about, but first, thanks to our friends at Feels for sponsoring this episode. CBD isn't about what you feel, it's about what you don't feel. Stress, anxiety, pain, and Feels is a better way to feel better. Feels is a premium CBD that will help you keep your head clear and feel your best. It's hassle-free, delivered directly to your door. CBD naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. There's no hangover or addiction. Different folks at New Rockstars have used Feels to help with exercise-related pain, and sleeplessness caused by stress. Place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. The thing to remember about CBD is that finding your right dose is important. Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience so that you find your perfect dose. The Feels customer service team makes sure you get the best use of your CBD. Joining Feels monthly membership makes your self-care easy. You'll save money on every order and you can pause or cancel anytime. Start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/marvel and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/marvel to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. feals.com/marvel. We also want to thank Cuts Clothing for sponsoring this episode. Here at New Rockstars, we're really proud of recently crossing 3 million subscribers. And our friends at Cut Clothing are proud that they're celebrating 5 years of creating great clothing. Whatever milestone of accomplishment you are proud of, Cuts Clothing is here to make you look as good as you feel. To mark 5 years of creating clothing that can be dressed up or down for anything, Cuts is having a month-long anniversary celebration. And they're doing it big with 2 collection drops, a product launch, and a week-long special event. Cuts helps you get ready and stay ready for any occasion with clothes that combine classic designs, universally flattering fits, and next-level textile technology. At New Rockstars, Philip, in particular, is a huge fan of Cuts Clothing. He always says their shirts are the best thing, best fitting, and that guy, let me tell you, knows shirts.
It's true.
He's a
cut man in Cuts Clothing.
Yeah. Cuts hoodies feature specially developed Hyperloop French Terry fabric, a material that's temperature controlled and ageless. Just like Paul Rudd is ageless. Or try the wrinkle-free Pika Polo, a design that keeps you looking good at the office, the golf course, or even your next hot date. Go to cutsclothing.com/WandaVision to get 25% off site-wide during their anniversary sale. That's 25% off site-wide at cutsclothing.com/WandaVision. Why WandaVision? I assume we just have a deal with this company, and that's just the one we used last time we did a deal with them. Don't think about it. WandaVision is ever present in our lives, and if you aren't rewatching it every weekend like I am, you should, because it's
great. Seriously, it's always topical.
And we want to thank Stamps.com for sponsoring this episode. If you're going to go to the post office and paying full price for postage, stop it! Thanks to Stamps.com, you don't have to do that anymore. Mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay less, a lot less, with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com saves businesses thousands of hours and tons of money every year. Whatever kind of shipping you're doing, Stamps.com can handle it with ease. New Rockstars has used it in the past to ship all kinds of stuff, including getting equipment to remote employees. Like me and MT right now. It was super easy and very helpful. You could use your computer to print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. With Stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. With promo code MARVEL, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Marvel. That's Stamps.com. Promo code Marvel. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. All right, MT, back to the episode. What if the blip was an absolute point in the MCU? I want to talk more about absolute points. Could the blip have been an absolute point in that reality or in some other reality? What are absolute points and how important will absolute points be to the future the way Marvel explains the multiverse and things like time travel?
That's a really good question, Eric, because I feel like it could actually be this absolute point within the MCU because He Who Remains didn't stop it from happening. I feel like that's right. A really interesting point. So, and like, absolute points actually remind me of the term fixed points from Doctor Who, because I'm a huge, you know, Doctor Who fan, which is literally exactly what this is. This, like, you know, you can't change this moment because it's a pivotal moment in, like, in all time. But yeah, I think that it's a huge traumatic event that happens to everybody in the universe. So like it has to be like probably the most absolute point of all absolute points because it is so universally effective. But like, what do you think? Do you think?
At least the Avengers were confronted with changing that as if that was an absolute point because they didn't necessarily stop the blip from happening. It still happened. People still aged up 5 years. They just found some loophole to kind of extract the stones from the past and bring them to the present to bring everyone back. But they couldn't like prevent or stop Thanos' snap from happening. But let's be honest, this episode completely rewrites the rules of time travel that we are presented in Endgame and presented
in more
in
ways than one.
Like, even the way the time stone works, like, you're supposed to rewind through time. Like, you rewind the apple being eaten. You rewind Wanda blowing up the Mind Stone in Vision's forehead. And it's almost like Tenet. Like, you see reverse time in almost real time. Maybe a little bit slower, maybe a little bit faster. But the freaking way Doctor Strange did it, it seems to went, boom, and then, bip. Oh, sorry.
You can't do that. You can't rewind time.
You can't do that. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Agreed. You can't do that. And he just, like, teleported right back to that moment, which we hadn't seen the time stone work like that before. So you could just argue, look, this is what if. These animators are doing all kinds of weird shit with timelines, with characters' mouths moving. I'll be honest. This
so
has been...
true. The ancient one looks so weird.
But look, they are taking all kinds of liberties. I think we could say on What If that maybe Kevin Feige is just like, oh, it's animated. But I do think it is interesting how many new points. I think an absolute point is something that is interesting. Also, the time stone itself has a different kind of magic. It's on a different scale than the technology that seems to fuel the TVA and what He Who Remains was doing. I think we can agree with that, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like it's. I feel like the time stone in this reality, like you were sort of alluding to there, it just seems very like a lot different in terms of the way it acts. I don't know if this is it due to in part to Strange desperation in this universe compared to, you know, our main universe, whereas he didn't need the time stone as much as he needed it now. So like maybe he's like reading through these books is like, all right, now I have a greater understanding of this time stone. So like I can do, you know, that weird shit. Like I'm just going to teleport here immediately type of stuff. So like,
yeah. Right now, it seems like Marvel Studios is trying to keep a division between magic and science still, even though they are the same thing, blah, blah, insert the Thor line. We just don't understand it. I know. But specifically, Kang / He Who Remains was using technology. The quantum realm time travel that they did in Endgame was technology. They used terms like EPR paradox, the Deutsch proposition, whereas what Doctor Strange does is magic. And I think at the end of the day, it is all magic. But when the Ancient One said to Bruce Banner, like, you're going to create alternate timelines by doing this, that's kind of what she told Doctor Strange in this episode. You're now on a dark path that I think we now saw that alternate dark timeline that she warned Bruce Banner about, and we follow it and we live on it. And eventually what we learn is that those timelines kind of prune themselves. And that's what we saw Doctor Strange in at the end, is if you try to change an absolute point and if you're successful, eventually your universe is going to self-prune. And then everyone you know is going to like melt into ink and then rejoin the dark. She kind of talked about the dark dimension, and you talked about in recent videos this idea of like, there's kind of this dark matter that fills in the buffer points of the void. And that seems like what was happening to that reality. It just kind of rejoins the void of the universe. And it just melts in a weird way. That looks very cool.
Looks super cool. I love that imagery. But yeah, no, I think that's a really interesting point there. Because like, you know, I feel like it makes sense for the universe to sort of self-prune in the event that like something goes wrong. And it's just like, you know what? Like it's sort of like this is probably a bad example, but like a cancer cell overgrowing. It's just like, oh no, like this is not natural. And so like I'm going to die now because like, this is just not the way things are supposed to go. So yeah. I think
ultimately we can conclude, though, that absolute points are only absolute to their specific universe. Because in the MCU, we didn't need Christine Palmer to die. You know, she's still alive. She's doing fine. Mm-hmm. So, but I think what we're finding is that every universe has at least one absolute point. It is not shared across different universes, different timelines. But what I'm now asking is, can there be multiple absolute points? Just these kind of load-bearing points in history that can be unchanged. And it's just interesting that this episode makes it seem like you can't subvert. You got to imagine the countless times Dr. Strange is trying to save her. It wasn't just preventing the car accident. It was just like deciding to let her drive, deciding to go get pizza, deciding to go dancing. Eventually she's going to die. And I made it seem like the blip was not that to the MCU. If they could kind of subvert it in that way.
Okay. Interesting. I get that. All
just different rules. Different rules. I think we're more willing to accept it. And what if this honestly seemed like a hypothetical cautionary tale, a truly tragic event of a character who goes too far.
I feel like this episode was made specifically. I mean, obviously, like, it's an amazing episode, but, like, I feel like the main goal of this episode was so that it demonstrates that the Watcher will not intervene no matter how bad the situation is.
Right.
And the universe literally ended. And he was like, well, that's what happens, you know? See you later.
Right. Agreed. Now, next question. We got to talk Mephisto. What if one of those mystic entities was actually Mephisto or evidence of his existence? How should we interpret that, MT?
I think that, you know, there's obviously a lot of demon imagery in this episode. And, like, it's impossible not to think about Mephisto, honestly. Like, it's straight up, like, the imagery or the illusions are sort of there. But I think that if it was one of those entities was Mephisto, maybe Strange would be a little bit more powerful. I don't know. I feel like Mephisto is this, like, super juiced up entity. But it's totally possible. I like, that being that... Strange turns into at the very end. I'm just like, damn, that is, give me some like demon Mephisto vibes. I mean, obviously Mephisto doesn't look like that, but like, I don't know. Maybe he swallowed a little bit of Mephisto. Maybe his fingernail or something. what do you think?
I mean, I honestly think MT, the fact that he was able to see the Watcher and he was as powerful as he was, makes it more likely that there was some kind of, at least a brush, an elbow bumping with Mephisto in there, you know.
Yes.
He got a taste of the fist.
But
I think ultimately we can say this episode dispels those. I always hated this counter argument to Mephisto saying Disney will never put demonic imagery on their platform. Like, dumbass, have you seen Fantasia? Have you seen Hocus Pocus? There's Satan and all that stuff. Are you crazy? Disney has no problem with that. And clearly this episode proves it. Disney Plus is not afraid to show demonic imagery. So I think if Disney's not afraid to do that here, and I don't think they're going to have a problem with doing it in any live action thing. I just think this episode was all about priming the pump with audiences and getting us used to this idea that Doctor Strange is a guy connected to crazy cosmic horror and scary shit. And I think that's the direction we're going to go firmly in Multiverse of Madness. I think my most anticipated event, honestly, MT, is not Spider-Man No Way Home. It is the trailer for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, yes.
I cannot wait to see the visual language. And I believe they're using the same production designer as Spider-Man No Way Home. So
Okay. Yeah. Good. We got the synergy there. That's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that trailer's going to be nuts. Like, it's going to be, like, the end of that trailer, like, the thing that, like, hooks you in at the end, it's going to be like, oh my god, like, it's a true Multiverse of Madness.
I think what it's going to look at, like, the very first time I saw the Doctor Strange trailer, and I believe that was summer 2016, I remember feeling like, what am I looking at? This does not look like any Marvel film I've seen before. So I'm just excited to have that feeling again of, like, seeing magic translated in a new way.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Now, the last question I want to ask him, T, is what if Mordo was missing for a reason? He was the one major character from the first Doctor Strange film not here. Mm-hmm. So what was it? Do you think they just couldn't get Chiwetel and they didn't want to recast him with a sound-alike actor? Or is there something in the works for him for Multiverse of Madness that they didn't want to complicate?
Well, I think it's a matter of they couldn't get Chiwetel Ejiofor and Chiwetel Ejiofor was unavailable. No, I think that Mordo could've so ridiculous. No, I think that Mordo was definitely missing for a reason here. Cause he's a very, like, the fact that he wasn't in Kamertage at all, and like the fact that Mordo was this Jiminy Cricket type figure for Doctor Strange in Doctor Strange 1, the fact that he didn't have that and he goes on this super dark path. I think that sort of ties into what you were saying before about, like, those secret, like, side what-if scenarios. And I think that, you know, what if Mordo wasn't around to, you know, sort of give Doctor Strange some shit is a big factor to why all of this happens. Because he's just like, all right, I'm just going to do what I want. Because I know Wong said, you know, don't do it and I'm going to make some tea. And the Ancient One definitely said, you know, don't do it by her all of her actions. But I definitely think that Mordo not being there was a big factor to why this whole episode went to shit. Because, yeah, Mordo, he's not wrong. Mordo's not wrong. So, and, like, honestly, after all this, maybe Mordo is right. There are too many sorcerers. There are, like, this is just, it's not good. It's having sorcerers being able to swallow up interdimensional creatures, not great. Doesn't seem like it's a good idea.
I think not having Mordo in there made this kind of story a bit, like, more straightforward. Because, you know, you know, with all these What If episodes, they really streamline the stories. They fly through it. And I think specifically they needed the Ancient One to be dead and then Wong to be kind of the character he is. Like, Wong is almost like a watcher in that he doesn't intervene. In Spider-Man No Way Home, the guy packed up suitcases and says, "Don't you do that spell," and leaves. So I think they just needed Strange to be a bit unsupervised to be able to tell this story. And had Mordo been in the room, he would have been like, give me that. Give me that. Put it on a real high shelf.
He just rolls up a newspaper and just bops him on the head. He's like, no, you can't do that.
But I am very excited to see what comes next from Chiwetel Ejiofor. I think he's an amazing actor, and I loved his take on Mordo. He's just, the guy's constantly freaking out. I knew I should have stayed home today. We can't do this. Turn down the music. We have neighbors. We share walls. So he's just great. I think the universe needs more Mordos. I identify more with a Mordo than a Strange. My idea of a good time is sitting at home by myself playing Wingspan. If Wingspan was part of this episode, I would have segued right into a Wingspan spot. I don't want to explore the multiverse. I want to stay at home and with my lovely girlfriend, fiance, and soon-to-be wife, and my dog. That's all I ever want to do.
Multi-Wingspan of madness. I'm all about it.
Well, that's it for this episode of Inside Marvel. MT and I will be back next Wednesday with our What If episode 5 reaction. Now, my breakdown, I know you're used to my breakdowns coming out the same day. We didn't get early advanced screening to this episode. I just watched it minutes ago. It's going to take me a time. This is a complex, thick episode.
It's There's a lot in it. Magical episode.
I want to do it right, so it's going to come out tomorrow. Be patient. If people yell at me on Twitter, you yell back at them. Be my defenders. Don't make me get all rattled, because Twitter Eric is not having fun with me. Twitter Eric isn't good at interacting with others.
It's so, okay. It's Twitter.com.
The answer is to just get off Twitter, but I can't. I can't. I have to be on it. But anyway, don't forget to check out our many great merch options at NewRockstarsMerch.com, including this lovely shirt. You too can have your crazy theory or question answered, read aloud, featured on screen, by just getting this. Now, you can follow me at EA Voss, follow MT at Mastertainment, follow New Rockstar, subscribe to Inside Marvel wherever you get your podcasts, and thank you for watching. We'll close with our favorite moment of the episode.
This way. Sorcerer Armani?
No, it's Strange.
Not any stranger than any other name in this world.